it kind of made sense. You know, I always kind of, my running joke is I look at the border of Canada all the way down to the, you know, the border of California, and I see a lot of green there. And, you know, whether that's forestry or money or whatever the case might be, it's a lot, lot that comes with it.
Welcome to the Before You Buy or Sell a Business podcast, where we help buyers and sellers learn more about the acquisition process, discuss recent transactions, and stay up to date on the latest news in the market. Here's your host, Jared Johnson.
Hey, Tommy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Of course, yeah, I'm glad we got you back on. I mean, it definitely was a goal of both of ours, I think. So happy to get you on here again. So let's see. So you were on episode 20, and we talked about a deal that you moved pretty far along with, and unfortunately, it fell out. So what have you been doing since then?
Hey, yeah. What a year, I guess, it's been. Because it was about a year ago that really kind of started the process of looking for a business to buy. So as you're familiar with, looked at a business here in Las Vegas, got through majority of the way through the due diligence, and the kind of deal fell apart. Took the summer off and really spent the time with kids and family. We camped a bunch and did a bunch of things, and I kind of got my feet back underneath me. And then I started looking for some other businesses, some other opportunities, and reached out to a couple of my friends and see what they were up to. And I ended up snagging one of them. And since then, we've identified a business and we closed in February of this year.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get to it. We'll talk about what you bought and how the process went and everything. Now, I know from the time that the other one kind of, I guess we'd call it, fell through, you did take some time off, but I do feel like you kind of dug a lot deeper into the entire process of buying a business. And kind of what I gathered was that you learned quite a bit about kind of the different ways to buy and all of that. So maybe you could kind of walk me through what were, you know, some of the things that you did to, you know, maybe better prepare yourself for the second time around.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you the credit for it, because when we had that last conversation for that episode 20, afterwards, you had mentioned kind of search funders, and it was new to me. So I started down the path of researching to understand what's going on, and found searchfunder.com and, you know, just a number of other people who were in that space, really kind of understanding that what I was looking at before was a little more narrow-minded. Where this, you know, the research helped me understand that there is a whole bigger space that I was not even really aware of, that I felt was kind of untouched. So with that, I learned that not only could I buy different types of businesses, I could buy bigger businesses, and then with that, I wouldn't necessarily have to go all in on, you know, just with myself. So really helped me understand that whenever I found a new opportunity, it wasn't just such a kind of solo venture, solo act. Had a lot of people that I made connections with and networked with that helped me understand that you know, my next phase, my next search and identification would be a lot different from my previous one. So with that, I learned, you know, what I kind of needed to kind of look for in the next opportunity. And once I did, I kind of got a better feel for, you know, what I needed to do to prepare myself. So with that, I started preparing, started researching, started learning more. And then with that, just kind of started that search. And then once the search happened, you know, things kind of started to fall in place pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, yeah, I was really excited to kind of even have that conversation with you. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know, kind of there's a few different worlds kind of when it comes to buying businesses. So what you're referring to is search funds. So I don't remember what year it was, but you know, there's a book out there, there's a study that was done. I believe it was something that started at Harvard Business School, but with search funds, what they call essentially now a traditional search fund is where an individual that likely has a lot of experience in a certain industry goes and finds a business. Investors get together, they pool their money, and or sometimes it's just one investor, and they will buy the business, the individual will run the business, grow it, and the investors are looking for a return. Typically, you're going to sell that business in 5 to 10 years after growing it, and then exit, get a return, and move on. And then what's kind of evolved from there is what they call self-search or self-funded search, which would be where an individual is using their own funds to buy a business. Now, with that, they've kind of also then brought in the help of SBA lending or even conventional lending, where an individual will take their funds and use it towards the transaction, typically with 10 to 15% on a down payment, and then the SBA will fund the rest of it. Many times there's also seller carry. And so that's kind of where it's morphed. And then they've also had a little bit of like a mixture of the two, where you bring in an investor who will help with the down payment and also kind of pair themselves with the individual that's going to run the business. Maybe they're putting in some funds and then also use some debt and maybe some seller debt as well. So it's kind of evolved, but it's very interesting. It's fun. It's kind of a great way for people to be able to buy something maybe a little bit larger than what they could buy on their own. And then also kind of there's this community of searchers that are out there looking for a business. So I feel like that's kind of where you turned and gained a lot of knowledge from other people in that space that were looking for the same kind of business. So with that and kind of learning more about search funds, how did that change kind of your perspective and maybe even like how you were looking for a business?
Yeah, when I was looking for the business, you know, early last year, the one that I found here, again, you know, kind of that solo, you know, self-funded everything, not even a fund of sorts, or kind of a search itself, you know, everything was on me, you know, all money out of my pocket. And also it was, you know, daunting to kind of think about, you know, putting up that much money up front and you're going to having all those things there. But with the opportunity to, you know, whenever I was learning more about the search fund, kind of the different options, the self-funded search really kind of hit home where, you know, yes, I can use some of my own capital, but I can distribute that, you know, and have others help out with that as well. So that was my first time really asking people for money, kind of going through and, you know, finding that, which was a lot easier than I thought. And I think this is because I went to the trust, my trusted sources, my trusted, you know, network. I have, well, you know, a couple of people who are friends who have been friends for a long time. And they, you know, they listened to my pitch and listened to what I was trying to do. And they were on board, you know, pretty much right away. And so, you know, I have a handful of investors that have come along with me. And, you know, it's exciting just in the fact that, you know, first off, that they trust me enough to, you know, to take their money and, you know, find something and, you know, to work together. You know, some are a little more involved and some are less, you know, involved. So it's a really kind of nice support group, not necessarily just from a financial perspective, but from the experience and knowledge perspective that I was able to get from them or I'm able to still get from them. So this is a really big deal for me to be able to go into a new venture, not necessarily just with, you know, a partner who can help me run the business, but also those outside resources for those, that external knowledge in itself. So this has been really cool. It's been really fun just to kind of get to know people on a different level and just kind of understand what their investment, you know, opportunities and strategies and thoughts are and be able to kind of be incorporated into that, into their kind of long-term goals as well. So with that, you know, raising funds and then just kind of understanding how to kind of put that all together, right? It's not just, hey, you know, here's my money and here it is up front and then we go from there. It's, you know, gathering everybody together, understanding how they want to be a part of the whole, you know, kind of acquisition, and then, you know, wrangling everybody together all at one time to kind of, you know, push things across the finish line and all. So that was really cool. It was really great opportunity, really great experience for myself. And then, you know, once we got into the actual, you know, identifying and understanding what the deal is going to look like, you know, there's a whole lot that goes into that as well. You know, our deal was, I feel like it was somewhat unique in that, you know, we were buying the business, but we were also buying the property and a home that came with it. So kind of a combination deal, which, you know, raised the, you know, overall value and cost of the acquisition, but again, with the investors and people behind me, you know, we were able to accomplish that in a much better way. So we have, you know, not only just the business and operating business itself, but actual physical assets that came with it. So again, unique, but you know, again, another learning experience in itself. So a lot of learning in the last, you know, 12 months though.
Yeah, that's great to hear. We're, you know, it's always nice to see somebody kind of grow and then understand kind of the difference with the different types of ways to buy a business. So when you were out looking for investors, did you start with people that you knew? You know, how many kind of conversations did you have? How difficult was that?
Thankfully for me, I went to people that I already knew and trusted, and they trusted me. You know, I've burned very few bridges in my past. So, you know, I have a lot of really solid connections and really great network of people. So the first person that I went to is actually my business partner, primary business partner, who he's great. You know, we've known each other for almost 9-10 years now. We've kind of gone through some, you know, some ventures or, you know, together already. I called him up and said, you know, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. You know, are you interested in working with me on it? And he's like, absolutely. Let's find something. Let's figure it out. So that was my first, you know, conversation that went well, you know, and I was like, you know, this is how we want to kind of structure it. You know, are you on board, you know, from a, you know, physical perspective, but also from a financial perspective? And he's absolutely. From that, we identified another kind of partner as well, who is going to help us more, you know, less from the business management but from other kind of operational perspectives. And, you know, he was on board as well, right? So that's investment as well as kind of him physically, you know, being a part of this as well. And then the other two I already had in mind, I already knew who I was going to call and talk to about this with. And, you know, I called up the first one and I was super nervous just to kind of ask, you know, people to give me their cash and their money and all. But after I explained it to them and walked them through the entire, you know, not necessarily just the acquisition, but, you know, what the future was going to be and where we really wanted to go, they were on board within, you know, probably the first week or so after me, you know, talking them through it, giving them the actual financials that I worked up, showing them the business plan, showing them everything that was going on, they were on board and ready to go. And then the other one, who is a whole lot more analytical and, you know, I felt was going to be a whole lot bigger challenge. He basically gave me the non-committal committal where, you know, he says, you know, sounded great, you know, send me the numbers. And, you know, once I didn't hear from him for, I don't know, a couple weeks. You know, he does have his own life and his own family and business and things like that, but, you know, totally understandable. So I was kind of, you know, wasn't sure. And after a few, you know, a couple few weeks, I ended up calling him and just kind of seeing where he was at. And again, kind of the, you know, strong maybe. And it really kind of stayed that way until we were really in. We had the, you know, the LOI in, and we knew that we were going to move forward and everything seems, you know, pretty solid. After that, I really got that final commitment from him on that. So it was hard in the, you know, mentally just to, again, go and ask people for money. But I think that with the strong connections and relationships that I have with them and their trust in me, it made it way easier than I was really anticipating. So going to friends and family was definitely my best approach. And that really helped me, you know, going outside of that, I haven't experienced completely yet. But, you know, that's on the table for you know, future. But hopefully I can continue to kind of wrangle in, you know, some of my own connections and friends and those types of things to help me further this along as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear that everybody told you yes, although some took a little longer, but, you know, probably made you sweat a little on purpose maybe. But, you know, it's great to not only bring in people that know you and trust you. I'm sure it's a big testament to, you know, your reputation with them and you know, kind of how you do things. But it's also nice to have somebody there that can help you out from a business side as well. So not only are they just saying, here's some cash, you know, pay me back one day and give me a good return. They're looking to also jump in and help you out from time to time if you need it. And so that's a great thing that, you know, we like to see as well as from a lending standpoint. So I'm glad you were able to kind of pair those together. And fortunately, you didn't have to go out and hit the streets and try to talk to people you didn't know, because that might even be, I don't know, actually, that might be easier than talking to somebody that you know, because if you lose their money, then you lose a friend at the same time, possibly. And so, yeah. You know, that could be a little nerve wracking.
Yeah. And it's a different driver too, right? So we have expectations when we have outside investors, but we have a whole lot bigger expectations when it's, you know, our friends and family. So, you know, it's, which is good, right? I think this kind of holds my feet to the fire a little bit more in the way that, you know, I don't want to disappoint them, much less myself or anything of that sort, right? So, you know, taking, you know, a lot of consideration to any, you know, decisions or thoughts around that, you know, kind of taking in their opinion, their thoughts, their kind of their investment part as well.
Yeah. So during that process, what would be your biggest piece of advice that you would give to somebody who is going out to raise money and look for a partner?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, just having the conversations, right? I think, you know, there's the book Crucial Conversations, or, you know, there's all kinds of resources and all that, you know, hey, having those hard conversations. And it's really just that. Because otherwise you're not gonna get the yes or no unless you ask. So I think that having the ability to communicate to the people that you're looking to raise money from, and, you know, even in an effective, friendly way, you know, just a friendly conversation. This is what I'm looking to do. What do you think? You know, really just kind of getting input and experience from others from that. So I've always considered myself to be a questioner. I always ask questions. I go into, you know, most conversations asking as many questions as possible and listen as much as possible. So my approach was, this is what I'm trying to do. What do you think? You know, what are your thoughts? How would you do this? And then from that, you know, I got a lot of really cool, really great input and feedback. So that was from kind of the friends and family side. But at the same time, after you had mentioned, you know, the search fund, I went up to searchfunder.com, and, you know, I signed up and I just started kind of engaging on that. And I just started asking people, hey, can I get, you know, 15 minutes of your time? Can I get 20 minutes of your time? You know, I just want to kind of get a feel for what's going on in there. And you referred me to a couple people who I had really great conversations with. You know, again, you know, kind of the educational process was pretty solid, just from the fact that people have already been doing this. They already have experience and knowledge and all. So just kind of gaining as much as I could in short, you know, bursts of conversations with people really kind of helped me understand the broader scope of it. And from that, what my recommendations are, just start the conversations, just have the conversations and utilize the network that you have. Even the people that you think that probably are not going to necessarily be interested or give you opinion, they will. They will give you their opinion because you already have that connection with them. And it's maybe they're not going to be investors. Maybe they're not going to be, you know, partners or part of the entire thing, but they have an outside in perspective that we really just don't have. So from that, you know, utilizing the connections, utilizing the networks, and then, you know, utilizing, you know, connections like yourself, for example, you've been a huge resource for me, not necessarily just from the financial side, but also introductions and just kind of discussions about, you know, how to approach, what to do, how to think about certain, you know, areas as you kind of move forward with it. So really just getting out there and doing it is a big thing.
I think there's a lot of people in the community that have either done it or are working on it or in the industry, and they seem to be very open to speaking to other people, and that's great. You know, I know there's definitely like a Twitter or X now kind of community out there. And then there's different, you know, like you mentioned, Search Funder, you know, there's quite a few different, you know, platforms that you can get on where people are usually pretty interested in providing advice and kind of experiences that had happened to them. That was one of the big reasons why I even wanted to start the podcast was I felt like there was a lot of people that didn't know you could buy a business. Then they didn't know all the different ways you can do it. There's a lot of people that didn't even know they could sell their business. So I'm glad we can get a lot more information out there. It's a great thing. I think it's awesome when people are able to buy something, kind of pick up where somebody else left off, and you know, both sides end up winning. So, and then now, you know, bringing awareness to the fact that you can bring in investors is such a big thing. And I have a lot of conversations with people that have a great background, great experience. You can tell that they get it. They know what they're doing. And a lot of them, I'm looking at their financial statement and, you know, kind of where they're at that point in their life. You know, they may only be able to buy something by themselves for, you know, $400,000 or $500,000. And then when I kind of bring it up to them, hey, you know, you've got a great background, you've got good experience, I can tell that you have good acumen, you're going to be great here. You can get investors, and then you can go up and get something larger. And a lot of times they're kind of scratching their head going, what? I didn't know I could do that. And once you kind of plug everything in and it starts working, then, you know, it makes sense, and they're able to get that to happen. So I'm glad you're able to accomplish that. So
I spent most of my career in IT, in software companies and small software companies or startups and stuff like that. So I always saw, you know, businesses going out and trying to raise venture capital. It was a very, you know, I mean, I knew that whole experience. But to think of it from my own perspective and not having to create something from scratch, but something that is already in existence and already something that was there, made a whole lot more sense to me to go out and pitch that to investors, right? Versus me, here's my pie in the sky kind of idea. Hey, here's something that's solid. It already has customers. It already has revenue. It already has employees. Here's all the things. Here's what we're coming into, and this is what we can do to expand on it. And it just made that conversation a whole lot easier than it was for me to come up with, you know, my harebrained idea and try to get people to kind of invest in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay. So the first time around was definitely a different industry than what you were used to with IT and tech. So the second time around, when you decided, okay, I'm going to do this again, I'm going to do it a little bit differently, did you have a specific target in mind of like an industry that you were looking for?
No, I think in that last conversation we had, that we recorded at least, you know, you asked me kind of the same question. You know, is there a specific area, a specific target or anything of that sort? And I said, no, I'm open to it, right? I was just kind of open to ideas. So as I mentioned, you know, there's been, you know, over the years I've looked at, you know, other businesses for sale and different things. So, you know, kind of seeing what might be out there, but not really ever having like a vision of what I could potentially do. So with it, you know, I was looking more in the one that we started with last year was more of a retail, you know, front, where the next was more service related. So, you know, there's a big push and big kind of, you know, a lot of activity around services and home services and that type of thing in the acquisition space. So I was kind of thinking in that same realm, but, you know, I don't always do the traditional things anyways. So I just kind of started to look to see what was out there, and what I'm into, what I've fallen into is completely outside of the realm of what I've ever done in my career, my life and all, but what I thought at least. And then once I got into it and started talking to the customers, I was like, I've already sold this stuff before. I've already sold services. I've already done these things before. I've had these conversations and I love it. And it really helped, you know, engage me in that. So, you know, it wasn't really a targeted, you know, focus at first, but once I started to kind of get into the search and looking around and see what's going on, it kind of narrowed it down to a couple of, you know, of the areas, and ended up on the one that we're in right now.
So if you had to guess, how many deals do you think you looked at between the two transactions?
I mean, probably 10 to 20, 10 to 20
okay.
different things.
So not too bad. Yeah. You know, I get some people, I feel like there's some people out there that just don't ever make a decision and they can always find something wrong. And I think that's fairly easy to do, right? Try being on the lending side where your job is literally to find something wrong and then trying to go out and look at deals yourself. It's difficult. So I'm glad, 10 to 20 is a good amount, but it's not where you're kind of going, oh, there was hundreds and there's so many out there that I almost move forward on and this and that. So how'd you end up finding the one that you actually ended up buying?
Kind of going back to what you were saying is I felt confident going into any opportunity that I would be able to understand it, learn it, figure it out, whatever. I know that there's complexities to all of them, and I know that I wouldn't be 100% perfect at all of the different things, but I felt confident being able to find anything. So again, we talked about from a retail perspective last time that I was had a ton of ideas and tons of thoughts about as far as going and growing from there. To switching over to this type of business, it's a pretty big leap. But I, at the same time, once I landed on this, I knew that there'd be a learning process. I knew there'd be a lot to go into it. But I felt confident that I could figure it out and that we could actually, kind of work through it. So once I started kind of doing the search, kind of understanding what was out there, we found this particular one, and through just general research and understanding of the overall market, realized that this is a really great opportunity for us to kind of get into a market that already exists, but really on a very early, I would say early stage, especially within the acquisition phase. It was unique enough to stand out from the, kind of the ones that are typically getting purchased right now or acquired right now. But it also it's a smaller enough acquisition to get into, but at the same time realizing that there's a whole lot broader scale that we could actually tap into from the existing customer base, from the either potential future acquisitions or any of those types of kind of practices. So it was unique enough. It met the criteria of, being there, having solid customer base, and then kind of, the full package, especially again with, kind of banging the assets that came with it, as well as the business. So it was a really nice kind of overall package that would kind of, fit all of those different, those check those all those boxes, and then from there, just kind of making that decision to kind of really move it forward.
Yeah, so there was kind of a lot of things that you liked about it, and it also, sounds like it gave you the opportunity to grow, which a lot of people, are also looking for. You kind of have the thought of just buying and operating and maybe becoming a little bit more efficient or cleaning it up, and then you have the thought of, doing that as kind of a baseline and then growing it from there, or maybe adding on some services, or looking at maybe something kind of within the business that would create other opportunities. So it sounds like you kind of found all three of those, which is great. And did you find it on BizBuySell? Did you find it on, a website? How did you locate the listing?
I think I found it on BizBuySell, and then
Okay.
I out to the broker from there.
All right, well, I'm sure the listeners are sitting on the edge of their seat trying to find out what type of business it was, so maybe you could talk about that now.
Yeah, so I didn't know that this existed until, probably 8 months ago when we really kind of started this process. But we ended up in a vegetation and forestry management services company. So the two sides of the coin currently. So we provide forestry services for lumber, timber, investment companies who have, large swaths of forestry that they manage. That's from everything from kind of planting inspections all the way to kind of survival surveys, which are the kind of the 1, 2, 3 year mark, seeing what's actually survived in that time. And then we start to do surveys for growth and understanding what's going on within their the growth patterns for those companies. In addition, we provide vegetation management. So if it vegetates, we manage it, right? So it's a during the summer times, if we look outside right now, I'm sure you're dealing with it too. All the pollen, all the new growth that's coming in. Well, whenever that vegetation becomes too, during those warm months, it can overgrow roots, especially like lumber, roads, timber roads, forestry roads, all of those types of areas that still need to be accessed, we do vegetation management for that. So right now it is herbicide types of spray that goes along the sides of the forestry roads. And we kind of, push things back along the way. So we do that not necessarily just for our commercial customers, but we do for municipalities, cities, et cetera. So we do a lot of roadside type of vegetation management as well. So yeah, forestry management, forestry and vegetation management services. So as I mentioned, it's very different types of services, but I've sold services in the past, and these customers need this type of work done, and we're providing it already. And it's just kind of be able to kind of expand upon what we have now.
Yeah, I bet you would have never believed somebody if they told you that was a type of business that you were going to find, which is great,
So, no.
And I like that you bring up a great point of you feel very confident that pretty much anything that you find, you could either quickly learn how to operate it, or you can kind of apply a lot of your skill set and maybe even your partners and your investor skill set to being able to operate that business successfully. And so I remember on the last episode we talked, you said you definitely didn't want anything restaurant related. So I know you stayed away from that, which I don't blame you. But I think if we would have said, well, let's go find something that manages vegetation, you would have been, does that exist? That would have been kind of fun. So, and then also it's in a different part of the country, right? So maybe talk about kind of how that worked. When you were looking at the listing and then starting your due diligence, how did that come into play, and what did you do as far as your actual due diligence before you made an offer?
Again, I mentioned that the first person that I called is actually my partner, who's handling more of the operations and sales and some of those things, the on the ground type of thing. So I live in Southern Nevada, and the business is located in Corvallis, Oregon. So quite a bit of difference in mileage and all, but my commute is very different whenever I do. So with that, I started to look, kind of in the Nevada space, in the Nevada area, but with the business partner who lives in Portland area, we kind of decided that, with the kind of scope of what we're looking for, let's look in Oregon, right? I have a connection to Oregon. We lived there previously to where, to when we live here. Have a lot of great friends and family and those types of things that are up there. So we kind of honed in on some of the different services, and again, kind of came across this particular business that was there. It kind of made sense. My running joke is I look at the border of Canada all the way down to the border of California, and I see a lot of green there. And, whether that's forestry or money or whatever the case might be, it's just a lot cool. A lot that comes with it. So it kind of made sense, and from that, or like we went ahead and set on that. From the due diligence side, I really have to give credit to the broker, Breck Palumbo. He put together such a solid package of information up front about the business. We had financials, we had tax returns, we had some operational information, asset information. He had really such a solid package of information up front. So I just started diving into that. What do we have? What would we be getting? Who are the customers? What is the actual financials in itself? And then just really kind of honing in on the specifics in that. And then from that, obviously the conversations that came along with it. And actually in December of last year, I made a trip up to meet the owner and to meet the broker and really kind of get a feel for the business on the ground itself. My business partner had already been up there and done the initial legwork as far as the research goes from the ground level. And really kind of prompted me to go up and have the face-to-face and all. And thankfully at the time, the previous owner was able to set up conversations with two of their, larger customers. And from that, I got to sit down with customers face-to-face and have a conversation with them about, one, what are they doing? Where are they going? what do they like about the services that we're providing now? And, you know, what can we do to help them, you know, in the future? We had a great conversation. We ended up having a 2.5 hour conversation with one of the largest customers, which was amazing to me. And they, at the end of that conversation, we really got the sense that they believed in what we were doing. They knew that we'd be new coming into this, but they understood that we understood business and how we would be able to kind of help them along the way. So really having that initial conversation, which I don't think that everybody's really going to get, but we were lucky enough to have those conversations, which really kind of helped spur that along. And then through the rest of the due diligence, you know, tons of conversation, going through, asking a bunch of questions about, you know, the specifics of the information that we really had, and just kind of having those ongoing conversations. Thankfully, the previous owner was really open with information, provided me access to, you know, some of the different systems that they have to really kind of hone in on reports and, you know, other data and information that they had there. So it really helped me along the way. And then from that, utilizing people like yourself, right? You spend a good bit of time with me really kind of analyzing the finances and the specifics on it to really kind of make a better decision on, you know, whether or not this was viable, whether how it would actually kind of be able to kind of, you know, start and then grow from there as well.
Yeah. And you brought up a great point about having a good broker. I remember you said, hey, I've got this other one. It's really interesting. Can you take a look at it? I said, sure. Can you send me what you got? You're like, you're going to love this. The broker has an entire like portfolio of every single thing that you could ever think of you wanted. And I said, yeah, right. You know, and you kind of sent it to me and I started going through it. I said, hey, give me this guy's number. Like, I need to talk to him. If anything, like, of course, you always try to work on getting more referral sources, but I really wanted to just tell him you're doing a great job because there's so many brokers out there that don't take the time to do this, or they just frankly don't understand it. And him and I had a great conversation. He was very useful in the process. Was great at sending stuff over when we needed it, but then also kind of really understood kind of when to put you two together and maybe back off a little bit and then come back in when you needed help. And so I think that was, you know, something you had already mentioned, but I just wanted to talk about it again. It was great having him in the middle of it. So
yeah, you know, I've been really lucky with the brokers that I've worked with. So, you know, Lindsay, who I got to work with on the last one, awesome, right? And she was actually a helpful resource during this particular one. And then Breck, who didn't represent me, but was a really great resource for me at the same time. And, you know, with that, and especially with that connection and what we're looking to do as far as growth and expansion there, I would absolutely work with him just from the experience that I have. You know, he mentioned that he had already put in hundreds of calls to numerous businesses within the Oregon, Washington area. So I knew that he had already put in a lot of, you know, kind of legwork, put in a lot of time just to understand what the market looks like. And then from that, really having his experience and his ability to kind of, you know, help his customer, help his client by taking as much information as possible and then presenting it out to us to really help us make a much better, you know, decision on this.
Yeah. And then so as far as numbers go, I believe the real estate was 550, business was 450, and then we did about 150, 160,000 in working capital. Yep. I think you put in about 10%. You know, part of it was you, the rest was the investor. So pretty good balanced deal. Because the real estate was more than the business, then you were able to do a 25-year loan, which is great. You had already kind of covered this, but it was great having a hard asset like the real estate there. And it also comes with basically a house. So being that you're not, you know, an hour drive away, you're more like an hour and a half, 2 hour flight away. It gives you the opportunity that if you need to go there for a week or two, you can. Same with your business partner or anybody else. So I think it really worked out for kind of everybody involved. So you've been through the SBA process 1¾ times. I know it's definitely not an easy process. There was probably things we could have done better during the transaction. There was some changes from stock purchase to asset purchase, adding a holding company for the real estate and kind of back and forth. But if there was any kind of advice you could give somebody that is going to start on it, or maybe they're scared of going through the SBA process, what would you say to them?
I'll go back to what I said before, you know, just having the conversation, right? Because the conversation is going to evolve no matter what. It really doesn't matter. You know, the deal that we worked on last year, you know, from very seemed like what a pretty straightforward basic acquisition. You know, there was a lot of nuance that came with it, whether that was, you know, came down to payroll or, you know, the lease itself and changes that come from that. Really having the conversation about, first off, is this reasonable? Is it viable? Does this look like, you know, does this look like something that can, you know, we can make work, right? And this is, and I guess I'm having the conversation with you right now when we started this conversation. It's having that conversation. Does this seem logical? Does it seem reasonable? Should we move forward with it? You know, you have a really good understanding of a number of deals and you can give it a thumbs up, thumbs down really quickly. So utilizing someone like yourself or, you know, having a resource that is able to really kind of give you a perspective on the viability of it is super helpful. And then from the SBA side, the SBA loan part, you know, it's kind of a pain just because of all of the facets of it. But it's just one of those things where, you know, we do our daily work, whether we're, you know, in a job or, you know, running a business and stuff like that. There's always going to be pain. There's always going to be painful parts along the way. And it's just kind of working through it. So my opinion and my advice is first have the conversations with Jared, you know, then have the conversations with the CPA and the lawyer and all those people that you need to kind of have on your team to, again, validate and then move it forward. I think that one of the biggest challenges with the SBA loan part is the amount of information that you have to give over, the repetition of that. The SBA process is not efficient. It's slow. It's repetitive. It's you know, there's a lot that could be you know, improved upon. I think you and I've had conversations about this as well. But even just some basic, you know, consistency along the way would be really helpful. And it's probably from the bank side as well as the SBA. You know, the bank is just kind of the middle person. But at the same time, there's a lot of things that still could be, you know, improved along the way. We live, you know, it's 2024, and you know, it's hard to imagine that, you know, some of the technology and the automations, the things that, you know, I would love to see are still, we're not there yet. So having the conversation, really getting an understanding of what the acquisition of the deal really could look like. And then again, having conversations with others who have either gone through it or the team that you need to have in place to make sure that, you know, you're making the right decision along the way.
Yeah, it's some great advice, and I completely agree. There's a lot of things that I feel like could be streamlined and made easier, and I keep crossing my fingers that eventually we'll get there. We saw a lot of change kind of in the mortgage industry and haven't really caught up yet in SBA. So hopefully somebody will see one day that they're, you know, that it's worth throwing money at, and we'll see if we can get some change going. So got through the process, got it done, got closed. What did the first kind of 2-3 weeks look like? You know, how's everything going now?
So first couple of weeks were interesting. Our first day, one of our vehicles broke down out in the woods, and basically we had 6 people that were not billable that day. So, you know, it just kind of hit me in the stomach that I was like, oh my gosh, you know, first day, this is what it kind of looks like. We obviously recovered from that, and we've made some changes along and some decisions along the way to help with mitigating for that. But in the first couple of weeks was really just kind of get a feel. We had met the crew, the workers before, so they had an idea of who we were, and we were able to kind of present to them who we were and what we were trying to do, and, you know, just kind of basic you know, intros. We didn't have as much of a challenge as far as kind of the communication with everyone, but it was really just trying to kind of set a tone from the beginning. We're here to support you. We're here to help you. We want to work together. We want to make sure that everybody is, you know, happy and healthy and you know, able to do the things that they want to do. So from that, we had kind of established that rapport with people, you know, to start with. And then, you know, it's just kind of the really understanding what's going on, you know, understanding, you know, what the, why, the, how the schedule works, what the schedule looks like, how often, it, you know, when it gets actually put into place, how people are doing things, and then, you know, getting people out into the kind of the, to the work areas, the field, to, field itself, which was kind of already set in place, which was super helpful. But then again, it was just kind of understanding what the next parts were. My biggest challenge, and it still is kind of my biggest challenge, is the invoicing, you know, the back end stuff. It's so time consuming. It's so, you know, kind of disconnected and discombobulated in a lot of ways. But in that first week or so, I already had made the decision. I was like, we can't keep on doing what we're doing right now. And the way that we have multiple systems that you go through, go to for scheduling versus time tracking versus notes versus, you know, all this other data, it just didn't make sense. And it just wasn't, you know, was not feasible for me to continue to do that. So with that, I went ahead and started making some changes. I've, you know, instead of, you know, people putting your information in one system, I've created an actual form that, you know, has a whole lot more consistency that allows me to do invoicing a whole lot faster. Still takes longer than I really want it to. But I'm working on the automation part of that. So from that side, it, you know, it's just kind of that initial, you know, onboarding learning for myself. And then for my partner and I, it's, you know, this is the first time that we've worked on this particular project, this particular thing. So just having the cadence of understanding what's going on from his work, my work, and, you know, kind of marrying that up. And, you know, also tempering our excitement on how we want to make changes or how we want to kind of progress with the reality of there's the day to day. So in the first couple few weeks, it was really just kind of, I wouldn't say drinking from the fire hose, but it was just more of like, all right, let's really get a, you know, understanding of what goes on day to day and how we're going to kind of manage it going forward.
Cool. So if you could go back and do it again, is there anything you would have changed for maybe the first 30, 45 days?
I don't know. I can't. That's a really hard
question. Well, that's good. I mean, that's a good answer, right? I mean, you wouldn't have, well, I messed four things up, you know, so that's good. I mean, that's great. I think you know, based on having some people helping you, you spent a lot of time with the seller and with the organization beforehand. So there was less of a learning curve. You know, walking in day one, it wasn't like you were, you know, completely out of touch and trying to understand it. So I think that probably helped a lot.
Yeah, I've done a ton of research just on the market and then on the business itself and really kind of getting a basic base level understanding of what we're actually providing, what we're actually doing. So I feel like I have a much better handle on that. And yet we still haven't even reached the next season, right? So we haven't even hit that next time to where there's a whole lot more variables that are in that. But you know, I think that not having to deal with a lot of those external, you know, the challenges that we had to start with, we've got those under, under wrapped. Then we can move on to the next set of challenges, which is the ones that are coming up in front of, you know, coming up sooner rather than later. So with that, I mean, I have confidence that we'll get there. It's just whether or not it happens today or, you know, couple, you know, however long from now. So.
Have you started thinking about, you know, maybe what's next? Do you want to do another acquisition? Do you want to grow this business? Is there another industry you want to go into with this business? I mean, what have you had those thoughts yet?
Absolutely. I've had many, many of those thoughts. So the conversations that I am having with my partner and all, we see a lot of growth opportunity within the specific market that we're in, whether that's, you know, either expanding our services, you know, so we're doing forestry and vegetation, but we're actually looking at UAV and drone work that we can provide services to our customers. So that's existing customers. So there's a ton of opportunity within that space, a ton of opportunity within the forestry management that we're not doing right now. We're doing some of the lower level things where we can start to do more of the higher level stuff. So we just need to find the right people to put into place for that. And then those services are already there. People already have a need for that type of work. for us. So we just have to kind of build as we go there. So there is definitely organic growth within the business itself. And there's a there, I could see that being a huge amount of growth within this. The other side of that is acquiring others within the space. So as I mentioned, the broker, he meant, you know, mentioned he lobbed a couple hundred calls into different companies around the area. And majority of them, as you probably have heard, have no exit plan, have no legacy plan for this. Their kids or their family have moved on to do other things where they're going to eventually, you know, be ready to retire and kind of move out. So there's a lot of opportunity as far as the acquisition side goes. And that's acquisition within our current market, but then acquisitions within other spaces that are kind of tangential to this. So arborist services, potentially landscaping services, all kinds of things. So we're thinking about more of like the overall land care kind of approach to our future and to kind of growth. So, you know, absolutely organic growth, absolutely acquisition growth, and then, you know, partnerships probably along the way as well.
Yeah, that's some, very, very exciting information, and I'm excited to kind of hear what goes on next with you. And yeah, this has been a great conversation. So I usually ask two questions at the end, but I already asked them on the first one. So everybody go back and listen to that one. But I do kind of feel like, we don't really need to cover if you have a mentor, had a mentor, but I'm kind of curious if your, motivation and, what drives you has changed at all.
I mentioned before, you know, I'm kind of innately like motivated, and I am not, I mean, you can absolutely find me on the couch playing video games here and there, but that's not my MO, is just sit around and not do anything. I'm just motivated to do things, to experience, to explore. And I mean, you know, this is, as I mentioned, this is a brand new market and industry to me, so I'm just exploring them. So I am an explorer. I like to understand, you know, all the different things around me. So I am motivated to go and learn and motivated to explore. So that's just kind of me in itself. And you know, from that, I think that part of that motivation comes from my conversations with, you know, my investors and friends and family. You know, so it's not necessarily that quote unquote mentorship that, you know, we've talked about in the past, but it's kind of a broad range mentorship where, you know, having conversations with people about this is what I'm thinking, this is where I'm thinking about going, this is how I like to get there. You know, give me your opinions. I just had coffee with a friend of mine today. He walked out and he was like, "Hey, I'm really excited for you." You know, just from the challenges that I've had already, he sees that, you know, we're already starting to tackle some of those things, and that, you know, he can see that, you know, there's definitely potential that's along the way. But he's also been kind of a mentor-esque, you know, mentor-ish to me, and through the acquisition process, and now through kind of the actual operating part. We get together probably once a month and you know, have conversations. But yeah, that's kind of the motivation, is just you know, kind of, you know, having those additional conversations, putting that out there. And then kind of, you know, once you put it out there, you kind of have to live up to some of those expectations. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Great. Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. I'm really excited. Hopefully we can do another episode down the road, and we'll catch up with you and see if, you end up acquiring anything else, or if you want to just give us an update. So I really appreciate you coming on. That was a lot of knowledge, a lot of information that you dropped, and I'm glad to kind of see your growth and to see that you were able to accomplish something that you definitely deserved. So hopefully we
I
can have
appreciate
you
it.
on again soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We hope you found this podcast informative and helpful. Please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. For more information, or if you'd like to discuss a transaction, please go to www.jaredwjohnson.com.